Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to blast him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so that my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water. Just in case if stuff gets too fire, I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good in it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
That's the first I've heard about this Week 16 flex news. Did you know about it?
The Chargers-Broncos game that was replacing Bengals-Browns. Yes, I heard about it a few hours ago.
Al's just like, I'm not going back to Ohio after that one.
Yeah.
Put me in L.A. I'm not going back to Ohio. I'm not doing this again. He does. I'm looking through the rest of the schedule. He does have a Chicago left. You know, at least that's Chicago.
Sure. Yeah. Maybe he loves deep dish pizza or something. You know, he'll find a way through it.
It's closer.
Yeah.
To Southern California. Yeah. It makes sense. Will this news mean that nothing is being flexed before Week 16? Or would they maybe want to give more notice to teams that they are rudely
moving from Sunday to Thursday? Yeah.
Yeah, not good news for Denver and the Chargers.
Is there still room for what is, I mean, by the day here, it's a more antiquated thought than ever, but I mean, you buy tickets to a sporting event that's supposed to be on a Sunday afternoon, maybe to bring, I don't know, your adult children to, your little children to, I don't know, and then it's moved to Thursday night?
If it's in L.A., it'll be at like 5 o'clock, too.
God, there's just so little regard for the fans who go to the venues, I think. I know there's a disclaimer there. Like, you know, they can move these events. I mean, it happens. You can understand it more if it's because of, 3 feet of snow or a hurricane. But it's just like, that matchup kind of blows. Let's put these guys in there. I don't know, man. It just sucks for, you know, some of the 70,000 people who are going to the game. I'm sure the rest of us will enjoy it because we get a better game. You know, I'd much rather watch Chargers Broncos at this point. I guess I have to admit that.
I
just think it's so rude.
It's better, but how much better is it? Like, it should have more importance. It probably will. Cleveland and Cincinnati could both be dead.
Is it better enough? Sorry. Is it better enough to warrant inconveniencing, I don't know, 10 fans, 1,000 fans, 20,000 fans? Is there a number? I guess there's not. I mean,
well, you know. It's also the other way around. I mean, it's Thursday to Sunday,
but you're
buying tickets for a rivalry game at home at night.
Yeah.
You saw how special last night looked. Cleveland was 2-8. Was that a problem for Amazon to have that game?
That game for those fans is probably some version of my 2002 Bills-Dolphins game. Not that the Bills were 2-8, but they weren't going anywhere. And it's snowing the whole time, and it's awesome to be here. And like, yay me, I'm having a great time. I'm not that worried about the Bills making the playoffs right now. I'm just having a good time. And I bet the Browns fans had that last night. And, you know, they could have had that on a Sunday, but, you know, maybe the weather wouldn't have lined up.
So, visiting fans probably would already have hotels booked.
Of course.
You know, Wednesday night, Thursday, if that's, it's drivable, but maybe.
I just think it's so obnoxious to the fans that go to the games. And, you know, we know that it's a TV product and that's much bigger than the paid attendance, but it's still just rude.
You probably could sell the tickets, but you don't want to have to. Yep.
I mean, it's one thing, you know, even Sunday to Sunday night, like 1 o'clock Sunday to Sunday night is tough, but at least that's the same day of the week, and maybe you can even view that as an upgrade if it's inconvenient, like, oh, we got a night game now, yay, but I don't know, man. I know Sunday, 1 o'clock to a night game is an upgrade, but yeah, if I'm going to Boston tomorrow morning to see Sturgill Simpson. My whole family's excited, been waiting to see this guy for, I don't know, 10 or 15 years or so. And we're finally going to do it. And if, I don't know, a week and a half ago they decided to move the show to a Wednesday, that would have really messed me up.
Well, that would never happen, right?
For a concert?
Like, I mean, concert can get canceled.
Concerts can get postponed and moved around, illness, whatever. Like, that happens. And so you know that going in. But to move it because, what? We've got a satellite audience tuning in from Indonesia, so we want to make it available to them. So we're going to have the concert at 2 in the morning now.
We just realized that Manilow was playing on Saturday, so we don't want to...
We don't want to go head-to-head.
We don't want to counter-program. Yeah. We don't want to go up against Manilow.
How about this Simpson guy? He played two nights in Toronto the last two nights, and I think Taylor Swift played Toronto last night, too, by the way. I don't think she's going to Boston after this.
But he's not worried about Manilow.
Probably not.
Or anybody else.
He's
not worried about Taylor Swift.
Much smaller venues. She's at, you know, Rogers Center. He's at Massey Hall. So, you know.
Toronto can handle both.
He'll get by. Yeah. I just, you know, I'm done. It's just obnoxious.
And I would just say again, as a viewer, as somebody that watches all these games, I don't really care that much.
Right.
You know, to me, it's fantasy stuff anyway. Like, Cleveland-Cincinnati is about as interesting as Denver and the Chargers will be. But I'm just one person in this.
Yeah.
Are the Bills then probably flex-proof for the rest of the season? Last year, there was the Saturday game with the Chargers. I'm not sure if that wasn't announced before the season.
That was announced before the season, but the finale was left vague, and they do that with all the teams. But
the Sunday night before is when they announced that.
Right, and I can't imagine there'd be a reason why the Bills-Patriots game would be that game. It's not.
Next Sunday's all set. At Detroit, or at the Rams is next, but that would have been announced by now, and the Chiefs are on Sunday night, so that's not a consideration. We know that they can't move that Monday night game because of the Simpsons. Cincinnati-Dallas is the Week 14 Monday night game, and they won't flex, even though that's worse than Cincinnati-Cleveland, arguably, but they won't flex that because there's a Simpsons cast, and all the drawing has already happened with the two teams.
That's locked in.
So that's locked in.
That's it.
15 would be
the
game
Lions
in Detroit.
I don't know this, but my guess would be that CBS is squatting on that game. Well, you know, like, I don't know how it all works, but I do get the impression, or maybe even I think maybe we know, that the networks get to, you know, protect a certain number of games, and that's the best game in the 425 window, I would imagine that's going to the country. And I just can't – I'd be really surprised if CBS – what, you know, if they're able to, I would expect them to be just like putting a cage around that game going, nope.
Are you positive it's CBS because they –
100%.
Okay, it is.
Yeah.
Because sometimes nowadays that changes too.
Yep.
It's one of five 425 games that week. So I would think that you're probably right. Green Bay, Seattle is not the best Sunday night matchup. 16 is home to the Patriots. That game is not going anywhere. 17, home to the Jets. Nope. And then 18 at New England. So I think they're probably, I think the schedule's probably solid.
Schedule's probably locked in. Yeah. Yeah.
How about last
unless
night?
I'm wrong about this Detroit thing, but I feel pretty sure that there's no way that game's getting moved.
Okay. There's time for it to still happen though.
Yes, there is.
Last night, I like it in life when certain things just never change, like the Steelers. I mean, hasn't it been just a number of years in a row? How many years in a row are the Steelers the same thing? A lot. I mean, it's for a long time, the Steelers have been the same thing.
Yep.
Which is pretty good, not great. And, I mean, this, I guess I have to admit, has yet to happen. But who's afraid of them? Right? I mean, we're sitting here with a team, maybe this is the year. And in Pittsburgh, not everybody would say this, and I realize that it's risky. But you're talking about, we've been talking a lot this week about possible playoff setups. You want the Steelers. Yeah. Somewhere at some point, you want the Steelers.
Yeah, I want Baltimore to get out of the wild card mix. I want Baltimore. So I was rooting for Baltimore to beat the Steelers last week. I was rooting for the lousy Browns to beat the Steelers. At least the Browns came through. Because I want the Ravens out of the 5-6-7 mix, and I'd like the Steelers down there. And, you know, just protect me from having to deal with Baltimore right off the bat. And, you know, of course, there's always some amount of be careful what you wish for, yada, yada. But come on. I mean, the Steelers, they are always the same. I mean, they're going to want to run it. They've even got now a quarterback. They're subbing in and out. And that kind of worked for them last night. That worked well for them last night. They probably don't get the lead when they got the lead without Fields' contributions there. So, I mean, that was good for them. And then they put Wilson back in and he throws a touchdown pass. Like, yay for us. So that's about as good as that can go when you've got two guys rotating like that.
It's good. It's good on them that they're willing to do that.
Sure. But, you know, run the ball and they've, you know, edge rushers and like that's who the Steelers have been. I mean, since Dick LeBeau was there, it feels like that's who the Steelers have been.
Well, they almost got it. I mean, it was never really their game. But not only do they get the two touchdowns to take the lead, but then they get the ball again after that. There was a pick after that, like 4 minutes to go with the ball and the lead. Still could not get that home. It was a bad punt. Their last punt was a shank, and then Cleveland was able to score from there. You got to love a snow game. Who doesn't?
It looked great. Did you need the superimposing of the yard lines?
I hate that stuff. I mean, it wasn't there for the players.
Right.
And I don't really need to know that well.
I think a part of the charm of watching a game that's like that is, you know, maybe not knowing, having to like look at the markers on the sideline to try to figure out where we are on the field, if there's any kind of a sign I can get from that. So, I didn't really need that stuff.
But. No, that kind of stuff offends me, especially if it's not overt, if it's not disclosed. And I don't remember. I didn't ever hear them mention.
They did mention it. Yes.
Okay. Well.
Yeah. They came. Came back from a commercial and had it. And one of them, Al or Kirk, said something about like we're doing this.
Good.
The magic didn't happen here during the commercial break. They didn't like clear everything off so you can see the yard lines.
Well, they did show, the first time I noticed it, they did show a guy shoveling across the field.
Right.
And I thought maybe that was all, because I tend to think this way about, well, a lot of things, but that this is kind of meant to trick me. And if they said that it was computer generated, then maybe they should have said it more than once. But
maybe, yeah.
How offensive is it? It's only, I would say, offensive, quote, offensive, in the sense that so many things are like that now, and including in sports. And it's just really, it's just wrong. You know, everything with the ice and the ads and the boards and hockey. Officiating, now, too? I mean, if I can extend this to that, where you really just don't know who is making these calls and how and what's... How about the play?
And ultimately, what's being decided? Yeah, what happened on the intentional grounding? The graphic was like, it's like still third down. The graphic says fourth and two. The ref is talking again. Like, I was in bed. I was awake. I had my eyes open. I had the volume on, but I really had no idea what the hell was happening.
So I think a play that would have been maybe the most intentional, obvious intentional grounding penalty possible, where the quarterback, as you see a lot, throws the ball to the ground right in front of himself, but there's like a running back there who's, you know, eligible but not looking for the ball. But since he's in the, quote, in the area, then they don't call intentional grounding. They hate to call that because it's not good for offense. So this one, though, Winston's pass hit a lineman, which I guess that's the cheat code. Because if it hits a lineman, it's illegal touching. Is that intentional grounding? It can't be intentional grounding. I don't know if that was explained. Probably not. I guess it seemed like that one had to be grounding.
Yeah.
But if they call it illegal touching because the lineman touched the ball before it hit the ground, well, I want to know that because that's what I want to do every other time forward.
I want to whip the ball at one of my linemen's butts.
That's not loss of
trouble. Like that's what I want to do.
Pick out which lineman you like the least and just fire it at his head.
Right.
I mean, you don't have to go that far, but that if I'm Josh Allen, any quarterback in the league, I'd want to know that. Like, did the Browns just dodge an obvious loss of down penalty? Illegal touching is now loss of down. So they went from, I don't know, third and two to third and seven or something like that, and then got it.
Right.
It helped them win. I mean, fourth down is just that much tougher.
If that's a grounding penalty, it's fourth and what, fourth and 14 or something? Or whatever.
From the spot.
It's from the spot where he threw it, and he was definitely a few yards back beyond the line of scrimmage when that happened. That rusher came right in on him, and he backpedaled even. So, yeah, they would have. They probably don't win the game without that call going their way.
It's officially a four-yard penalty, by the way, for some reason. He went from third and two to third and six, and then went for 15 on the next play.
Yeah.
Well, Pittsburgh loses. It's been coming. And this is how it is in the NFL, like how you know not to overreact when there's so much of the season left. But you went from a game that if they'd won as a favorite, they have a two-game lead with a win over the Ravens already, 2.5, you might want to say, to now it's one, and Baltimore can think, well, we'll just have to beat them, and it's basically tied if they do that later in the season, which they still have to do. So big difference. I don't know, is my Cleveland playoff bet still like officially not dead?
I don't know. You know how we'll decide that, Mike?
When we'll ask Sam.
No, well, okay, that's one way to do it. Another way to do it is to watch football on Sunday and see who's in the hunt on the graphic.
Will they dare to put 3-8 Cleveland?
The Browns be in the hunt?
And the Jets and the Patriots? How many teams do you want to have be in the hunt for that graphic?
How deep do you want to go hunting?
I'm going to say no.
We've got Indy, Miami, and Cincy in that order, 8, 9, 10.
That's enough.
And I've seen as many as 5 teams over there on that far right side in the hunt column, but I don't know that you need to force it.
3's enough.
Yeah.
That gives you kind of a symmetrical kind of graphic there. 3's, you wouldn't be so brazen is to put 3-8 teams in the hunt.
Because if you're going to put the Browns or the Jets in, then you're putting the Patriots in, and now you've got 6 teams in the hunt.
Terrible.
And 3 of them are 3-8. I mean, what are we doing here?
Who do you think gets that 7th spot? Denver? I had the odds out yesterday. I mean, it's right in line with the standings, what the odds are, as you would think. Denver minus 105, Indy plus 155. Which is an eighth, Miami plus 310.
It's too early in the year. There's too much writing or typing for me to do to like have all the teams' schedules on a page already. I don't have that yet. So I don't know who's playing who and like all that.
Indies, I know, is good after Sunday.
Okay.
They have Detroit this week.
Yeah.
And they also have Denver, which, you know, is a tougher team, kind of. But a team you're chasing,
that
so you want
to
play them.
That could be useful for them. Yeah, right.
New England next week. They have the Giants. They have the Titans. Jacksonville.
I'm waiting to ponder what kind of shot Miami has to make up the ground. You know, like I like that team. I think their defense is kind of coming on, and you know, That's a team I thought, of all the teams, like, sure, Denver's better than I thought they'd be. Indy, I guess, and the Chargers, all of them, are better than I thought they'd be. So this is, you know, my priors are showing here. I still feel like Miami is as good, if not better, than any of those teams. And that's, you know, that's because going into the year, that's what I thought. But I still believe in the talent on that offense. So, I depending on who they've got down the stretch here, I mean, can they go 5-2? Is that enough? 9-8? I don't know. That might not be enough. I mean, did they go 6-1?
New England at Green Bay, Jets at Houston, San Francisco at Cleveland at the Jets. They're an underdog at Green Bay. They're an underdog in Houston. They're probably an underdog to San Fran. That's a long ways off,
I don't,
though.
I don't know, by man. I don't like that for them. So, I guess Denver's in the spot now. I'm really interested to see what Indy does with Detroit on Sunday.
Yeah.
Huge line, but Richardson showing back up the way he did last week, and I know it was the Jets, so, you know, whatever. I don't know what sort of compete level I'm really getting out of the Jets, but, you know, they got him, and Richardson looked really good. And so I know the Lions should just handle them, but I don't know. That's a wild card there. You've got a guy who hasn't played a lot, who hasn't looked real, real good on balance outside of last week and a couple of other moments earlier in his career. I feel like they're live at what is that, 10.5? I mean, that's not saying they're going to win. It's less than that,
I think.
Not going to win the game, but I'm just curious. Can they hang in there, maybe pull an upset on Detroit? Like, that doesn't seem crazy to me.
I'm thinking exactly the same way. I think it's closer to 8.
Okay.
7.5.
All right, thank you.
You might not like it as much now, but I'm thinking the same way. And I'm careful with it because it was one game, and it was against the Jets. And a lot of my guys I listen to have been making fun of the Colts this week. Mm-hmm. You know, like, go ahead. The guys I'm doing ADP chasing with, both immediately their instinct was in fantasy, like in Dynasty, to sell Richardson. Wait a minute. this was a pretty big investment. Mm-hmm. You want to give up after one game that went perfectly for you? I don't. I mean, maybe I'm naive, yep, but I want to see it through. And I'm excited about him, but maybe Detroit is just too good for the league. I don't know. They've scored 52 points twice in the last four games.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a scenario where they could hang 70 on the Colts. I think it would, but I think there's also a scenario where Richardson makes some plays and they hang with him.
They have four games this year over 40 points. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
San Francisco at Green Bay this week. Then it's the Bills next week.
And there's some question about Purdy for Sunday.
Yeah, that's right. They're 5-5,
mm-hmm,
and these two tough games, Miami later on, we were talking about them, and we'll see what San Francisco is by then, because they've got a lot of age, and if they lose a couple more, maybe it's just kind of over for them. So we'll see about that. Sam Panayotovich coming up in about 7 or 8 minutes to talk about week 12. He's excited about the Browns, or he's just patronizing me. Because
you talked about this playoff bet with him last week. Yeah,
I don't know.
All right.
But Joe was on it. I was getting texts last night about the ugly dogs.
Yeah.
And
we were all over the Browns in here yesterday.
Yep.
That was
another Thursday win.
Yep.
How about that?
Yeah.
For whatever reason, that has happened this year.
Just to button this up, because it came up earlier in the segment and it was left sort of unsettled. Not that this will definitively settle it, but Sneaky Joe texted me hearing us talking about that Week 15 game, Bills at Lions. Says Sal told them this morning, or the other day, it came up the other day, both of the big networks, CBS and Fox, get to protect one game per week. So I've got the CBS slate here for Week 15. And there's nothing even close to Bills Lions. Like, it'd blow my mind if that's not the game they're squatting on. So I think it's very unlikely that that game gets flexed to Sunday night.
It's still weird to think about living in a world where Bills Lions is good.
Yeah.
It really wasn't.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That long ago, that they were playing every preseason week 4 game, and it would still be the worst. It really wasn't that long ago, but good that it's changed. Detroit is interesting and fun, and so are we. We have Sam Panayotovic coming up. Theo Greminger back with us today to talk fantasy. We are what? I mean, getting near playoffs, trade deadline, a lot of important, quote, important fantasy stuff to figure out, and Theo will hopefully help us do that. Paul Hamilton as well, with the Sabres back in action tonight in Anaheim. Got Paul in a couple hours. Maybe by then we'll know more officially what the plan is with the lineup and, you know, probably Lukanen, but we'll know more in a couple hours, if not sooner. Thanks for listening. It is Football Friday, Bulldog. I almost forgot. Did you forget because the Bills are off?
I did kind of forget, yes.
Well, it is. And it's brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Time for a break. We'll be back in a snap. That's brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
Weather conditions tonight. We're expecting winds up to 15 miles per hour in a wintry mix. How will that impact your ability to throw the ball?
I am so happy and grateful that the Lord has blessed me to play in some snow, to be in true football weather in Cleveland, Ohio at Huntington Bank Field today. To get him the glory. It's a beautiful day.
Jameis Winston, who kicked it up another notch after the game,
yes,
by the way.
He did.
If you want, we can play around with this at some point today or next week, although there's a game next week. But is he a week one starter next year anywhere? Winston, I think Darnold is. I don't think Daniel Jones is. Some of these guys are a little bit toward the middle. It'd be an interesting debate.
I'm going to... How lame is it if I say TBD on Jameis?
Definitely is that.
Like, let's see. I don't think off of what has happened so far that I'd say yes. But, you know, he could lean into it here and they, you know, win three or four more games or something down the stretch and puts up numbers, then maybe.
If. Right, Sam? Come on. If. The Browns are definitely going to win some more games. On the line is the host of BetQL Daily, Odyssey Sports, BetQL Insider, Sam Paniadovich. BetQL Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. And be sure to listen to the BetQL Daily podcast for more. Just search BetQL Daily wherever you find your podcasts. Actually, I don't know if they're going to win any more games. They were even lucky to win last night, or else they'd be 2-9. So, is that lame too, Sam? What do you think?
All I thought about last night when the Browns were putting on the finishing touches was you, Mike, sitting at home putting a W in your mouth. Like, that's all I could think about.
Plus the 3.5 money line and still not much, but some life in that playoff bet. Last week, you brought up, because we talked Bills Chiefs, of course, and you said if you like the Bills to win a game like decisively, which, you know, they pretty much did, kind of did, by the score anyway, bet them to win the Super Bowl then, because that's the line movement you anticipated. And was that not correct?
It worked out for sure. Now, I did bet. I had Kansas City in many teasers at plus 8.5. I needed 2 freaking yards on 4th and 2. And your quarterback, your otherworldly MVP favorite quarterback, decided, you know what, Sam? I'm going to get 26 instead of 2. I'm not going to end the game. I'm going to get in the end zone. So that was tough for me, man. I mean, tell me that was a bad bet. I mean, you look at the box score and the final score. Yeah, it's a loser, but that's one of those results where you just stare at the ceiling when it's over. I mean, they're in it the whole way. But we did, you know, the other side of that is we did say if you like Buffalo to win the game, go bet them at 8-1 or higher to win the Super Bowl. And there is a 5-1 this morning in Las Vegas, 5-1. So not quite cut in half, but proof that the Bills are not a joke. Oddsmakers definitely take them seriously. And now going into the bye week, they get a chance to recharge the batteries and attack the home stretch. But that is a team that on a neutral field right now is favored over Baltimore and favored over Kansas City. So that's where you sit right now.
What did it do to the Chiefs' odds? And does that make them playable or not yet?
It doesn't move them that much because there's so much liability already on Kansas City. People bet them in the summer. They bet them when they win the first 9 games. And, okay, you got the Chiefs at 5-1. You want to move them to 10 or 15 as a bookmaker? Pow, pow, you're right back to 5. You know, so there's no reason to raise them. And I was talking with my friend John Murray, who books in Vegas. He's one of my best friends in the business. And he used the line basically saying the Chiefs aren't that good, but they keep winning. And you watched the game a couple weeks ago on Monday night, Van Pelt saying after they played, I believe it was Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Tampa.
Yep.
They're not unbeatable, but nobody can beat them.
Right.
You're like, right. The problem is those guys know how to win in the playoffs. And say what you want about the officials liking Mahomes and not calling certain things late. That team knows how to win in the playoffs. Baltimore does not. Buffalo wins to an extent, but you cannot – as a bookmaker, you cannot move Kansas City much higher because you know they're going to be there and you know they're going to be tough to kill in the playoffs.
Is there anything that you can do, that we could do with the seedings? Like, can you bet on the – I don't know that I've ever looked at it. I don't even know if it's available on the app that I use. Because our morning guys were talking about the schedules. And, you know, the Bills' schedule – a couple of weeks ago with the Niners and the Lions and the Rams, it looked pretty daunting. A point they were making this morning here on WGR, Sam, was if you remove like the easiest game the Chiefs have, which is their game Sunday with Carolina, and the hardest game the Bills have with the Lions, the Bills have the far easier schedule, like winning percentage-wise, going down the stretch here. Pittsburgh is a part of that. I think Houston's out there still for Kansas City. So like the cakewalk to the one seed, I mean – obviously, the Bills got closer, and losing to Detroit while they beat Carolina would put them 2 back. But I don't know that it's insurmountable with what the Chiefs have left and how they look.
So there are a couple markets, and MGM might not have both of them, but they are readily available in other places. So the odds on the Bills getting the one seed in the AFC is currently about 2-1. Dollar wins you 2, collect 3. Not bad. How about Buffalo to have the best regular season record, 18-1 at BetMGM? Those are conversations that are both on the table. Look, whether people want to admit it or not, Detroit is 9-1, KC's 9-1, Buffalo's 9-2. They are a half game out of the best record in the NFL. They're going to have to do some heavy lifting down the stretch. But Detroit's schedule, as great as Detroit has been, Detroit hasn't really gotten into their division slate yet. So they still have to play the Bears twice. They have to play the Packers again, the Vikings again. They go to San Francisco. They play against Buffalo. I honestly think if you go to that game on December 15th, Detroit against Buffalo in Detroit, that probably decides the number one seed in the NFL. So, again, if you believe Buffalo can do it, hello, BetMGM, 18-1 right now, best record.
That's another – I mean, this kept coming to my mind last week. That's another example, I think, of how – they're just not trusted to do that. I mean, they are just right there. Everything you just said, it was the case for it. 18-1 is a lot for a bet like that, I think. So, very interesting. Sam Panayotovic on the Wester Hotline. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. We talk about NFL MVP all the time, but maybe the better conversation lately, Sam, is Offensive Player of the Year.
Whew, I sent you a ticket before we even met. I was like, let me test this guy out. Let me feel him out. I sent you that Saquon Barkley ticket from over the summer at 20-1. I also have a 25-1. He's the favorite right now. I don't know that I want to hedge it. Like, you make a bet to win the bet. You don't make a bet to get scared and hedge it. But now Derrick Henry is about 2-1. And I guess the question is, do I roll it or do I buy a little off and get a little Henry? If you guys were holding Barkley right now, would you bet a little Henry just as a little hedge?
I doubt it. He slowed down a little bit, I think. And I don't know all their games, but they've got tougher games. It's still Derrick Henry, but I think if it were the other way around, I would do it. I would play Barkley. If I had Henry, I think I would want some Barkley. But not... I mean, that's one opinion, but I don't think I would. I don't love the idea of Derrick Henry going forward this year. I just like it.
He's been a guy, too, and going back to his time in Tennessee, he would be amazing for 13, 14 weeks, and then he'd have those games where he'd have 22 yards and 38 yards because he's just exhausted because he's touched the ball 25, 30 times a game. Now, it's a little different in Baltimore. There's more cooks in the kitchen there, and his diet and his nutrition and all his workouts have been much different as he's gotten older. But yeah, that's just emblazoned in the back of my brain. He's a warrior from weeks 1 to 12, but then from that point forward, fatigue starts to kick in. That's a guy that takes a lot of contact and honestly welcomes a lot of contact. So, yeah, current market, Barkley the favorite, Henry number 2. You could find, like 170, 180, not quite 2-1. And then Ja'Marr Chase at 7-1, who, let's be real, guys, if he was on a better team, he might be favored. And the other crazy part about Cincinnati, Burrow's putting up MVP numbers right now.
Yeah,
this is the best season of Burrow's career, but they're not winning. It's a waste of a season in Cincinnati with Burrow and Chase playing as well as they have.
I'm nervous for Cincinnati just for selfish reasons. As a heavy fantasy player, those guys, and I have a Chase receiving yards title at 9-1, and he's the favorite now. I think that's a team that maybe even just one more loss, and with all the consternation about contracts and the sort of the reputation of the Bengals, maybe those guys sit. I don't know. I mean, you worry about that, whether it's him or CeeDee Lamb, maybe my knee, it's not fair to the players, but late in the season, even like in Lamb's case under the big contract, but what's the point? Really? So that's what makes me nervous about Chase just selfishly.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be betting Chase at 7-1. He's calling out the coach. He's saying, we pay the kicker to make these kicks. And it's like, okay, we get it. We understand you're frustrated. But that's been a guy. Do you think about Ja'Marr Chase? He's won everywhere he's been. His entire life, I would argue, he's never been in this situation. He wins all the time in high school. He wins all the time at LSU. The Bengals have been a playoff team since he's been there. He does not know how to handle failure at this point in his young career.
First in the league at in receptions, receiving yards, and receiving touchdowns to this point.
Yeah. Sam, how much does Boise State getting into the bye region of the football playoff mess with the market, if at all?
So, you know, Boise's still, you know, huge favorites to make the playoff, and I do think they will get in. I don't think they're going to slip up, although there is something, Bulldog, that has to be discussed, and I'm not just trying to trigger Geary on your staff, but what happens, and I'm not calling my shot because I did lay 14 with Notre Dame. I did lay the points. But if Army beats Notre Dame, Army leaps Boise, right? They have to. Like, they would. I would think, right?
I mean, okay. Yeah. Really? That just sounds crazy.
Army.
Think about it. If Army knocks off a top 10 team in Notre Dame,
Yankee Stadium,
they're in the playoffs.
See, Army doesn't, the football program at Army hardly exists to me because you can't bet Army in New York State. So I they're never in my mind when it comes to picks or spreads or anything like that. You can't bet the New York teams. The college teams in New York State. So, but
look, Boise, if they get in, Boise gets in the playoff, they're going to go on the road and they're going to be an 18-point dog against Ohio State or something like that. They're going to get clobbered in the game, and we'll all move on with our lives. You know, not that Army would do anything in the playoff either, but I was looking at the possibility of Army winning, which I hope doesn't happen again because I do like Notre Dame this weekend. But if they do beat Notre Dame, we're talking about Army going to the playoff.
Wow, that's just sounds insane to me. Do you like the Boise running back to win the Heisman?
If I had a vote, I'd probably give it to him. But for my wallet, we need Hunter. We got Hunter at a bunch of numbers, like 8-1, 10-1, mm-hmm. 14-1. I don't think he should be -400 at this point in time. But to play 120, 130 snaps or more in some of these games and do it at a high level, it also sort of feels like this is a culmination award for Colorado and Deion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we know that they love that program. The media had Travis Hunter on both kickoff shows during the bye week. ESPN and Fox both had him on the set. Like, hey, here's your Heisman. So yeah. It feels like it's inevitable if he stays healthy, but Gentry's going to rush for 2,000 yards and 30 touchdowns. That should be getting more love. I do think that's true.
Wonder if you have another game or two from the college or pro slates this weekend, Sam. And if you can, maybe it's one of them, but we were talking about Detroit-Indianapolis. I think that's a really interesting one. Detroit -7.5.
I did take 7.5 with the Colts. That's coming down a little bit. There are some sevens in the market. I love Detroit, but not by that number on the road. I'm sorry. Colts are also 8-3 against the number. They've been very good for your wallet. So I do like the Colts. I mentioned Notre Dame, and I'm going to call an upset here in the SEC. Everybody keeps saying, what happens if A&M beats Texas? What happens if Auburn beats Saturday? Do not. That is the line of the week. Auburn only a 2-point dog at home. I think they're going to win.
You broke up a little bit Auburn there. Who's Auburn playing?
Auburn this weekend, Saturday.
All right. Sam, thank you. Good luck this weekend, and we'll talk again next Friday. Wait. Yeah, we may not.
We won't. Yeah, Zach will sort you out.
We'll be in touch. We might not be here. All right. Thank you, Sam.
All righty.
That was the host of BetQL Daily, Odyssey Sports BetQL Insider, Sam Paniatovic. BetQL Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app, where also the Sabres are -165 at Anaheim and at San Jose, same number. Really? 165 seemed kind of good.
Yeah, it might be a little generous.
Generous.
The Ducks have around the same record as the Sabres.
Promising.
Yeah. All right.
Sabres and Ducks from Anaheim tonight with pregame at 9. Paul Hamilton will join us at 5:30 today. The game tomorrow in San Jose is at 8 our time. So 7 o'clock pregame tomorrow on WGR. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog back after this. And we'll have Theo Greminger just after 4. Stay tuned. It's Football Friday, but also a hockey night, Sabres and Ducks, with pregame at 9. Paul Hamilton will join us at 5:30. Lindy Ruff did say that Tage Thompson would not play tonight. So he was part of practice, but still not ready to go, apparently. Let's go to Ron here next. Hello, Ron.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Don't call me crazy, but the Chargers are playing pretty good football, and they do play the Chiefs again. Mm-hmm. I think there's a chance they could possibly catch them, looking at the two schedules. Will it happen? I wouldn't bet on it, but we're just talking Bills and Chiefs, and mm-hmm. that's it. And I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I think that there's a shot that the Chargers can be in the mix of them, and I don't know what you guys think. Thanks.
I mean, it could happen. I mean, the math is the math. They're two games back, or 2.5 games back, maybe. Whatever. They're there, and they do play them. They've got Baltimore. This game Monday night hosting Baltimore is a big key for this. Atlanta after that, then they've got that Chiefs game you referenced. That's in Kansas City, night game, Sunday night game. Then Tampa, Denver at home. At New England, at Vegas. I mean, there's nothing really brutal there. So if they get this Baltimore game, yeah, I don't know. If the Chiefs wobble, like we're counting on the Chiefs to wobble here. Yeah, I don't think it's nuts. It's not nuts. I also wouldn't bet on it.
Minus 2,000 Kansas City to win the division.
Wow.
Chargers are plus 750.
Okay.
It could happen in the same way. Yeah. I don't think I know how good they are. I like... And this, again, is a little bit from a fantasy standpoint, but I like that the Chargers, about 3 weeks ago, started really throwing the ball. It's Greg Roman, and the expectations, I would say, mostly were they'd be really conservative. Harbaugh, Roman, Harbaugh's teams have always been top rushing teams, and they just didn't have good receivers. They lost Keenan Allen, Mike Williams.
Use their first pick on a tackle. Like, here we go.
Yeah. Alt.
Yep.
So... As the season got going, that's what it looked like. But that has changed, and I love that. I also want to see it if I have Justin Herbert on my team and not reduce him to, you know, somebody that I could pay 10% of what I'm paying him. Like, lean into Justin Herbert. And they kind of have. And that's been McConkey, touchdowns from Johnston, Palmer here and there, Disley the tight end. That's actually become a thing. So, they're interesting. I don't know. Monday's really good. Baltimore Chargers is really good. Like, Baltimore has to go on the road, another tough opponent. But they're favored in that spot. And if the Chargers win, that Chargers-Chiefs idea, you know, would become more interesting. This is a big one for that.
Yep. I think it would feel much more alive if they get this game Monday night. I mean, what is that to say? But it's the second toughest game, or maybe the toughest game they've got left on their schedule, I would say, the Chargers. You know, flip a coin between this Baltimore game and the Chiefs game. But if they get this Raven game, yeah, I mean, maybe. But still, I wouldn't. Those odds are terrifying. Although I love plus 750 sounds pretty good.
Go for it. How'd I do yesterday on my what? Did we talk about that on the air? The touchdown one? We did. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, that never hits. Each team having a rushing and a passing touchdown in each half.
Right.
And I had forgotten about it until like the 2 minute warning, like at the first half. Like, okay. No chance. That's dead.
Right.
I'm not.
I've had that. I've had touchdown and a field goal in each half. Nope.
Way less common than you think.
Yeah. The first time we ever saw that one, the touchdown and field goal in each half, each team to have a touchdown and a field goal in each half. Like, that must happen all the time. Look at that. I'm going to go and do that. Like, these people are crazy. Yeah, no.
It's pretty rare, I guess.
Yes.
Well, there's a reason why $20 would have paid $10,000.
Yeah.
I'm smart enough to know that.
Right. I'm not smart enough to not place the bet.
No, I loved placing the bet. Right. I loved it. The Chargers and Ravens Monday night, and also with the point about just remembering this, the Chargers throwing the ball more, that's what everybody does against Baltimore. Pittsburgh didn't do it successfully, but... they are a team that is very good against the run, and the Chargers are really not running the ball very well, but they're throwing it a lot, and Baltimore, that's where they've been vulnerable. So that should be good. Sunday night is Eagles-Rams, same stadium, with also the road team favored by 3. That's the case in both games. Fantasy football with Theo Greminger coming up after the update. We'll talk to Paul later. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog Football Friday on WGR.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at New Balance.com.